练习五。
Part A. You will hear Dr. Wilson, a professor of linguistics, talk about formal and informal language. As you listen, answer questions 1 to 10 by circling true or false. You will hear the lecture only once. You now have 60 seconds to read questions 1 to 10.
Today I want to talk about levels of language usage. You probably have noticed that people express similar ideas in different ways, depending on the situation they are in. This is very natural. All languages have two general broad categories or levels of usage, a formal level and an informal level. English is no exception. I'm not talking about correct or incorrect English. What I'm talking about are two levels of correct English. The difference in these two levels is the situation in which you use a particular level. Formal language is the kind of language you find in textbooks, reference books such as encyclopedias, and in business letters. For example, a letter to a university would be in formal style. You would also use formal English in compositions and essays that write in school. People usually use formal English when they give classroom lectures or speeches and at ceremonies such as graduations. We also tend to use formal language in conversations with people we don't know well, or with people we have a formal relationship with, such as professors, bosses, doctors, friends of our parents, strangers, etc. Informal language is used in conversation with colleagues, family, and when we write personal notes or letters to close friends, as well as in diaries, etc. Formal language is different from informal language in several ways. However, today I'm going to talk only about a couple of ways. First of all, formal language tends to be more polite. Interestingly, it usually takes more words to be polite. For example, I might say to a friend or family member, "Close the door, please," but to a stranger or someone in authority, I probably would say, "Would you mind closing the door?" or, "Excuse me, could you please close the door?" Using words like could and would makes my request sound more polite, but also more formal. I want to be polite but not too formal with my friends and family. Another difference between formal and informal language is some of the vocabulary. There are some words and phrases that belong in formal language and others that are informal. Let me give you a couple of examples of what I mean. Let's say I'm just crazy about soccer. But if I were talking to my supervisor or a friend of my parents, I would probably say, I really enjoy soccer, or I like soccer very much. Let's say I'm telling someone some news I heard about the police arresting a criminal. To my parents' friend, I might say, the police arrested the thief. Although the line between formal and informal language is not always clear, and although people are probably less formal today than in the past, it is useful to be aware that these two levels or categories do exist. The best way for a non-native speaker of English to learn the difference is to observe the different ways English speakers speak or write in different situations. Television newscasters, your college professors in class, your doctors in their offices, etc., will usually speak rather formally. However, your classmates, teammates, family members, friends, etc., will generally speak in an informal fashion. The difference can be learned over time by observing and interacting with native speakers. You now have 20 seconds to check your answers to questions 1 to 10. That is the end of Part A. Part B. You will hear several conversations or talks, and you must answer the questions by choosing A, B, C, or D. You will hear the recording only once. Questions 11 to 13 are based on the following story about the ancient city of Pompeii. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 11 to 13.
Today, many people who live in large metropolitan areas, such as Paris and New York, leave the city in the summer. They go to the mountains or to the seashore to escape the city noise and heat. Over 2,000 years ago, many rich Romans did the same thing. They left the city of Rome in the summer. Many of these wealthy Romans spent their summers in the city of Pompeii. Pompeii was a beautiful city. It was located on the ocean, on the Bay of Naples. In the year 79 AD, a young Roman boy named Pliny the Younger was visiting his uncle in Pompeii. One day, Pliny was looking up at the sky. He saw a frightening sight. It was a very large, dark cloud. This black cloud rose high into the sky. What Pliny saw was the eruption, the explosion of the volcano Vesuvius. The city of Pompeii was at the foot of Mount Vesuvius. When the volcano first erupted, many people were able to flee the city and to escape death. In fact, 18,000 people escaped the terrible disaster. Unfortunately, there was not enough time for everyone to escape. More than 2,000 people died. These unlucky people were buried alive under the volcanic ash. The eruption lasted for about 3 days. When the eruption was over, Pompeii was buried under 20 feet of volcanic rock and ash. The city of Pompeii was buried and forgotten for 1,700 years. In the year 1748, an Italian farmer was digging on his farm. As he was digging, he uncovered a part of a wall of the ancient city of Pompeii. Soon, archaeologists began to dig in the area. As time went by, much of the ancient city of Pompeii was uncovered. Today, tourists come from all over the world to see the ruins of the famous city of Pompeii. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers to questions 11 to 13.